Welcome to Mintcast, the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux. I'm your host, Charles Olson.
I'm Charles Olson.
And I'm Rothgar.
I'm Psyking.
I'm Art Vanderhoff.
And this is Mintcast,
the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux.
Welcome to Mintcast, episode 50. I'm Charles Olson. With me tonight is Rothgar. How you doing, Rothgar?
I'm doing okay, except for recording time a little bit. I'm a little bit tired.
Yeah, this is an unusual time for us, because our guest tonight is Clem Lefebvre, who is the creator of Linux Mint. Good evening, Clem, or morning.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Yeah,
thanks for having me on the show.
I'm Harrison.
I'm James.
I'm Scott.
I'm Jalou.
I'm Rob.
And this is Mintcast,
the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux.
Welcome to Mintcast episode 100. I'm Scott, and with me tonight are Rob, James, and Harrison. Welcome to Mintcast episode 145, recorded live on January 21st, 2013, for release sometime later. I'm Scott, and with me on the podcast this week is Rob.
Howdy doody from deep South Texas. How's everybody doing tonight?
I don't think they're going to answer.
Oh, they're not? Oh,
well, maybe in the chat room.
Oh, this is one of those one-way things where we talk and they can't talk back. That's why I like doing this. That's what it is. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Welcome to Mintcast, episode 150. Boy, that is such a nice round number. You'd think that we would have had the good sense to have some kind of special program. Well, wait, we do have a special program tonight. Doggone, I almost forgot. Anyway, today is February 25th in the year 2013, and we're recording live with the Mintcast, episode 150. I'm Rob. And with me on the podcast this week, of course, is my good buddy Scott. And boy, do we have something coming that's interesting tonight. I've been pumping this all night, so now it's really kind of...
Now that the expectations...
Can we deliver it? Can we deliver it?
Now the expectations are at a ridiculous level that we can't possibly...
So tell us... Welcome to Mintcast, the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux. This is episode 200. Yay! Recorded live on Sunday, April 27th, 2014. I'm Rob, and with me today on the podcast are Scott and Joe. Welcome back, Joe. Haven't seen you for a dog's age, or haven't seen you at all, actually. Haven't heard you for a dog's age, I should say.
Yeah, it's good to be back, guys. I've been listening, so I know exactly what you've been up to.
This could be a little dicey.
Hello and welcome to Mintcast, the podcast by the Linux Mint community for all users of Linux. This is episode 250. We made it. We made it, Mom. We did it. Recorded live on Sunday, July 24th, 2016. I'm Isaac, and with me on the podcast this week is Rob. We record live.
That was me. I clicked on the button that says turn your voice off, and then I started to talk, and you should never do that. So, I got my cheer in at the beginning, and then I was going to take it. Never mind. It's been that kind of a podcast already. So
the first interview that we have is Charles, and this one deserves a little bit of background. So this is going to be one of the first interviews that you get, and Charles makes a mention of it in the interview itself, but I feel like I would be doing a disservice if I didn't tell you what actually happened. So before we hit this teaser, I wanted to say that we were trying to get Charles and I were trying to get set up on Mumble. I had been using Mumble already, so it was already set up for me. But Charles had never used it that I know of. I think Mumble happened right after he left, so he was having some trouble getting it set up. But we were back and forthing and trying to make it work. And can you hear me? No. Can you hear me now? How about no? And then we kind of got it set up where he was logged in twice. But anyway, so it wasn't working for us, and it didn't seem like it was going to be convenient at all. So unbeknownst to me, he suggests, well, why don't I just call you, and then we can record ourselves in Audacity, and then you can just stitch it together. And I'm like, okay, that'll be all right. And then as we start talking, after we call, after we get hooked up on the phone, we start talking about it, and he's like, this is the way that Hrothgar and I used to do it. And I'm like, no way, this is amazing. So this is really just kind of a throwback to how this thing all started. So it was just an amazing, weird happenstance that it worked out that way, but it's just really cool. So anyway, without further ado, here's Charles' interview. So this is Mintcast episode 300, and I have Charles Olson with me today. How are you today, Charles?
Not bad. Kind of getting over a cold here, so I'm not sure what the sound is going to be like, but otherwise doing well. And how are you doing?
I'm very good. I've had myself a pretty long vacation, so I think I'm pretty well rested, but I get to go back to work tomorrow, so I'm half in, half out today.
Okay. Well,
like I said, thanks again for joining me. And I just had a few questions to ask you because we've got episode 300 coming up, and our plan was to get together as many of the old hosts as we possibly could and just kind of have a chat with them and see what they were doing nowadays.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I'm glad to participate.
All right. Well, good. Well, then I guess we'll just get started then. What drove you to create the Mintcast? Because you were the very first host.
Well, Linux, of course, you know, is a cooperative effort. It exists and it grows and improves because a lot of people are working together, a lot of people putting in a lot of time, a lot of effort. And once I had switched to Linux, I wanted to contribute something. And I'm not a programmer, don't want to be a programmer. My primary talent and experience are in writing and in user support. I've worked help desk for, I don't know, 20-something years. And once I discovered Linux Mint, I think I started with Ubuntu and then found Mint later. I started hanging out in the Linux Mint discussion forums, and there was talk about creating a podcast. And I joined in on that discussion, and there were several of us who said we would help, but no one was actually taking the lead, making it happen. And at one point, I posted something resembling a plan in a message, said, you know, the podcast, we should do A, B, C, D. And in response to that, Clem asked me if I would take the lead and make it happen. So I did. And it would not have happened without Hrothgar in particular. Are you going to be interviewing him for this?
We have sent out some emails. I know he was talking to us maybe as early as a week ago or so. So that is the plan, yes.
Okay, great. Because I think, at least far as I'm concerned, I think it would not have happened if he had not been there helping me at the beginning. I couldn't have done it alone, and he's a lot more technical than I am, so he really helped drive it along. And some others did step in to contribute. We had someone who went by the name of Cy King, there was Art Vanderhoff, Harrison, and then we had some others who popped in for like one or two episodes and sometimes just recorded something and sent it to put in there. And we started just each person recorded their own separately, and then I would put them all together. And then we found a way to record together by, it was Hrothgar and I. We'd be talking on the phone and recording in Audacity, each recording our side. And so we kind of laughed about it. We had an Audacity headset in one ear and a phone headset in the other ear.
This is awesome. So this is ending up, this is kind of a blast from the past from you then.
Yes, it is, since I couldn't get Mumble working on mine, and that's exactly what we're doing now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to go that way, but yeah, it is just like the old days. We tried using Skype and Skype call recorder and never did get that working. And we later discovered a service called TalkShoe. I don't know if it still exists, but multiple people can call in on their phone and you're all talking, like put you in a big conference call, which you can record. And you can actually do a podcast start to finish in TalkShoe, but I would download it and edit in the intro, outro, bumpers, and to make a finished show, and also edit out things that didn't need to be there. And it was the next team after we left that came up with Mumble, and that seems to be working very well for them. So I think I answered the question somewhere in there.
Yeah, you definitely did, and more than I had bargained for, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to contribute something. That was really the driving force, and not being technical, programmer, writing or podcast seemed to be the best way to go there.
Yep, and I kind of find myself in the same exact situation where I'm not a programmer, but I do find myself in system administration kind of situations a whole lot. And so I can troubleshoot, but not so much on the programming side. And this is one of the things that ended up kind of falling in my lap. And yeah, just jumped at the opportunity. And well, here I am now talking to the founder of Mintcast, one of the founders of Mintcast. So this is very cool. This is very a little starstruck, to be honest. So this is cool.
All right.
So I had another question that I actually meant to ask you at the very beginning, but what distro are you using right now?
Okay. I actually was not looking forward to this question. I know I asked you to ask me this question, but but because I wanted a chance to explain.
It smells like not Linux Mint.
It's not Linux Mint. And in fact, it's not Linux.
Oh, wow.
And that was what I... From the moment this interview idea came up, I realized this question was going to be there somewhere. Now, it's not any failing in Linux. I want to be clear on that. But I am using BSD in the form of Mac OS X.
I see. Okay. So you're still in the Unix family, though, so you're not too far away.
Kind of, but it's a total graphical interface, although I've had a couple of problems where I did have to drop to the command line, and because I was familiar with Linux, I was comfortable at the Unix command line. But actually what happened, well, I got laid off again, which happened a lot, and usually every 3 years I got laid off, I'd find another job, because companies went out of business or closed the department I was in or moved the department to another city. And I never quit, I never got fired, but my jobs mostly ended every 3 years. But the last time, I didn't find another job. So anyway, I'd worked myself up to a level that people didn't want to talk to me. Even if I was willing to cut my salary like 50%, they still didn't want to talk to me. I mean, I did have some interviews, but I had to start looking for other ways to get an income. And I stumbled onto doing voiceover work. And, you know, it used to be 20, 30 years ago to do voiceover, you had to live in Los Angeles or New York City. But now with the internet, you can be anywhere in the world, literally. If you have a PC, a microphone, and an internet connection, and some talent, you can do voice work. And in researching that, I stumbled onto audiobook production. Do you listen to any books like from audible.com?
I have. I'm a sciencey guy, so I've heard a couple of audiobooks from like Richard Dawkins and stuff like that. So that's really interesting.
I love Dawkins. Yeah, I think I've listened to everything of his. But yeah, you can actually listen to me now on audible.com. I stumbled onto Audible and found I could, actually acx.com if anyone wants to follow and produce audiobooks, or have your book, if you've written a book, you want it converted to an audiobook. acx.com is the site to go to. It's an Amazon site, so you use your Amazon login.
Cool. We'll throw that in the show notes to make sure people can click on it.
Okay, yeah. And if you want to find me on audible.com, you can search for me by name and you'll find everything I've narrated. So I'd done the podcast, so I was familiar with, I had a microphone, I had familiar with Audacity and audio recording, audio editing. So the podcast actually prepared me for that job. The problem I ran into was all of my PCs were loud. The fans were loud. One of them, the hard disk, when it got cranking, you could hear that. So my PCs running Linux were not good PCs for recording audiobooks. And I also took a class on audiobook production at that time, and they recommended a whole setup. And the PC they recommended was the MacBook. Not MacBook Air, not MacBook Pro, but MacBook, because it has no fan. And it has an SSD, not a hard drive, so it's completely silent.
That makes a lot of sense for audiobook production, for any kind of audio production.
Yeah, so that was good. I tried the MacBook, and I liked it. It's I hate Windows. I maybe shouldn't get too graphic there, but I hate Windows. And I am Microsoft free at this moment.
That is a nice place to be.
Yeah, which is what drove me to Linux in the first place when I was reading about what was coming in Vista. That scared me, and that was what pushed me to go to Linux in the first place. So,
if you've been following Windows 10 at all, then you're extra excited for all of that stuff.
I haven't been following it much, but I do have a friend. He has to use Windows 10. He uses Mac at home, but he has to use Windows 10 at work, and he does not like it. He tells me, more than once, he's been in a meeting at work giving a presentation, and Windows says, now I'm going to install updates, and just stops him. He can't you cannot control it, apparently, in Windows 10. It's going to update when it decides to.
Exactly. Yeah, he is not isolated in that. I have run into that, too, because I teach classes. And, I've had it in the middle of class where I'm, you know, broadcasting stuff across the internet, too, where it's just like, we're going to update now. Okay, cool. I'll be back in 10, 15, maybe, minutes.
And my Mac could do that, but there's an option. I said, I think it downloads the updates, but it doesn't install until I actually say install. So I
right.
control that just like I did when I was using Linux. So anyway, the Mac, it was very solid. It's a very, you know, it's a very small, light PC, very powerful. Audacity works great on it. I do use Audacity to produce the audiobooks. I just haven't booted up Linux in a while. So, but again, you know, I want to emphasize it's not a failing in Linux. It was just the hardware I had that ran Linux wouldn't do that, or, you know, was unsuitable. It's too noisy.
Yeah, I think you're in good company, though, because you ever go to any of the Linux conferences or anything like that, you're going to see a huge handful of Macs. So you're in good company. It's not a big deal, I don't think.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention that, the first Texas Linux Fest, I was doing the podcast then, and I did go to the Linux Fest, and I noticed all of the presenters were presenting from a MacBook. They were using Keynote software, and all these Linux presentations were done on MacBooks.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, they're not too far off when they say it just works. It really does, for the most part.
Yeah, and then eventually, I even switched. I used Android phones for years, and eventually switched to iPhone, and actually have been happier with the iPhone and iPad. And if you embrace the whole system, and I realize people are going to say terrible things about me, but if you do embrace the Apple system, life does get easier.
Yeah, I'm on an iPhone myself, and I don't know that I've said this on the show yet, so this is going to be fun. But I'm on an iPhone as well, and I really do enjoy it. I've come from a long line of Android phones, and it works. That's the biggest thing for me. I mean, the apps that I use, the things that I do on a day to day, they just work, and it stays fast. And I think I've had this phone for maybe like 4 months now, and I've rebooted it like once. So it's a huge departure from what I'm used to.
Yeah, and every Android phone I had, I think I went through about four generations. After 22, 23 months, it was crap. I mean, the performance was bad. That last one I had, I got to a point where I had to delete an app almost every day just to keep the phone working. That was a Samsung Galaxy S5 was my last one. And after I'd had my first iPhone 2 years, I actually wanted a new one, but not because of any problem. It was working perfectly. I just wanted a bigger screen, so I got a 7 Plus at that point. But yeah, life has been easier, happier. You know, nothing against Linux or anything. It's great. It just didn't work out for what I needed at the moment.
Definitely. I can respect that.
I'm very glad, you know, Linux is continuing. I do like to see competition that helps push the others. And if I had a reason, I'd use Linux again. I don't have a reason or time at the moment.
Yeah, definitely so, because there's a lot of quirks that you have to get used to. I mean, with any operating system that you go to, there's a lot of quirks that you gotta learn. And yep, if you kind of have a workflow already, there's no need to kind of change any of that.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the next question, if you're all right with that, is your first episode? We kind of had to change this question up for you. Your first episode was the very first episode. So, when was your last episode?
I had to go look that up to see. But I remember it was episode 50. We were doing it every 2 weeks. We skipped a couple of them. So episode 50 was an interview with Clem. I don't remember how to pronounce his last name, but, you know, Mr. Linux Man himself. And that was published January 17th, 2011. That was kind of exciting to finally get Clem, because we hadn't, you know, of course he'd been supporting us the whole way, but we actually got him on, talked to him, interviewed him. I don't remember a single question we asked him, but it was still a pretty exciting interview. You talked about being starstruck. Well, you know, that was us on that episode. I think we had to do it at a weird time, like 2 a.m. or something, because I think he's in Europe, maybe France. I don't remember now. But yeah, that was January 2011 was episode number 50. That was the last one that we hosted. I appeared on a few shows after that once they got going, and otherwise they've kept it going. I've been really impressed with that. I mean, it's hard doing a podcast, which I'm sure you realize now. It's a lot of work, and to keep it going, That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier when, how many of us? There's six of us right now, and we all kind of delegate everything out. So we haven't felt the crunch nearly as much as you and Rothgar may have. But it's definitely difficult, but it's a lot of fun.
And you do pretty good at not stepping on each other. I've listened to a few of them, and I'm impressed with that many people that you're not making a big mess of it.
Yeah, that was one of our real big concerns, because that's what one of the things that Rob had warned us about right when we started, and it was keep the amount of people on the show, you know, four or less. Otherwise, you're gonna run into a lot of that. And we've managed to stave off most of it, and then the editing can stave off a little bit more. But yeah, I think it comes out really good.
Yeah, I've been impressed with that.
Yeah, I appreciate you for saying that. Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right. Well, to the next question then. For you, what are some of the practicalities that are key for you in producing a regular podcast? Because we know it's hard. So what about it? What about it let you keep going with it?
Well, let's say one of the biggest things. Figuring out how to involve multiple people. Like I said at first, it was two of us on our cell phones talking while we each recorded in Audacity. And then we got TalkShoe. Now you have Mumble. So just figuring out a way to get multiple people in, that was a challenge for us. And actually, before that, when we were working alone, because when you can play off other people, that really helps a lot. When each of us was recording alone, it was, you just don't know how it's working out. Or if you start to stray off topic, there's no one there to pull you back in. So that was probably the biggest practicality thing there, was just getting it multiple people involved in it at the same time.
So how many of the shows, well, I guess maybe not how many, but were there a lot of shows that you were involved in that had more than two hosts?
I think more than half of them involved more than two hosts. I don't know if we ever got above three or four. And then we had some interviews. I think mostly two or three was most of our shows. Later on, it probably was more of three people. I know Harrison was in a lot of them.
Yeah, and I think we ended up, well, I guess we're just trying to go for the high score. Maybe that's what it is. Something about us. Just go with six, go with seven. I think we started out with seven. Now we're down to six.
But, yeah, and then getting a schedule that everyone can get together, too. That was the other thing. When people have jobs and lives and things,
that's a big issue for us as well. And I don't know how it happened. The stars aligned exactly perfectly, because Rob was doing things on Saturday at 2 and then Sunday at 2. And when we got everybody rounded up, we just asked, like, is Saturday at 2 okay? Is Sunday at 2 okay? And everybody was like, yeah. So, yeah, the stars aligned for us on that one, because that, I understand, is really difficult to do. So on to the next one then. What are some of the most rewarding moments for you in Mintcast?
I think one of the most rewarding moments was getting the first episode done. I mean, planning it, making it happen, talking, editing out I noticed on my recordings, I said the word a lot, and I probably shouldn't have mentioned that now. People will notice if it's in this recording.
I'm going to go back and listen now.
Yeah. But they didn't hear that in those podcasts, because I would edit that out. Getting it posted, which meant, the website had to be set up, the feeds, audio processed, uploaded. And actually, maybe the second episode was even more rewarding, because, we can do this. It's two of them now. Anyone can do one, but we got it done twice. And then getting feedback, which is mostly positive, and some of it constructive criticism that helped us, figure out what to do in the future. But there's a lot of positive feedback to it, so that was always nice. And then after that, the biggest challenge was coming up with ideas. I mean, if you're doing, we did it every 2 weeks, which I think, are you doing it 2 weeks, every 2 weeks right now?
Yeah, we still stuck to the 2 week schedule, yes.
Yeah, because I think they went to weekly for a while, which...
Rob had mentioned that, and that was, I know the amount of work that goes into 2 weeks, and having to double time that would be really difficult to do. So I can understand why they fell back to a 2 week cadence again.
Yeah, and it never ends. You get one episode done in the can, and what's the next one? You have to come up with a topic, and unless you know everything, which I didn't, you would have to research, because I don't want to say something stupid or something wrong, or so. Get an idea and figure out what you need to research, do the research, get the notes together. get it recorded, and then come up with another idea. So it's so people listening, I hope you understand just how much work it is for the podcaster to make this happen. It's huge. It's you're doing a great job if you can keep this going, and we really appreciate this.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm just sitting here grinning from ear to ear. I'm like, yeah, it is a lot of work. So what developments in Linux, or really just kind of tech in general, doesn't really matter, as long as it's tech related, over the recent years have you found to be particularly exciting?
Okay. And I haven't hardly used Linux in 2 years, so I can't really speak to that too well. Tech in general, the way it keeps getting smaller, like we talked about our iPhones, and I have a big iPhone. I have a 7 Plus. You know, they are smaller ones. And it's you know, 1,000 times more powerful than the first PC I bought. Actually, it's more powerful than the early supercomputers. It's getting so small, I can tell it to do things, and it will understand me usually and do them. And although that's great, it's awesome, and it's scary. I mean, what is it listening to exactly? Is it when I'm making secret plans, is it listening and reporting those to someone? Not that I'm paranoid. There's a lot of potential there with the miniaturization and the power increase. I actually just got an iPad Pro, which may replace most of my PC work with the keyboard. It's you know, small, light, but very powerful. I'm particularly wanting to do a lot of writing. Getting back into doing writing. And there's a beautiful writing environment called Ulysses for Mac and iPad and iPhone. So these small devices can just do so much. And I don't know how I ever got by without GPS. It's, you know, that's been around for a while. That's not exactly new, but just another example of what the technology does for us.
I'm in the same boat with that. I live in Texas, so the last time I went to Dallas, I think I probably would have just got lost about every 30 seconds had I not had GPS. That saved me.
Yeah. And so what part of Texas? I'm actually in the Houston area.
I'm in the very central part of Texas. I live in Abilene, Texas.
Okay, that's probably an 8-hour drive from Houston or something.
Probably so. Yeah, I'm about 2.5 hours west of Dallas.
Okay, actually, that is an 8-hour drive from Houston, because Dallas is like 6 hours. It's a big state.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people realize just how big Texas is until you try to drive from El Paso to anywhere in the state.
Yeah, I'm in Texas, and if I wanted to go, I think New Mexico is one state over, but that's like, I don't know, that may be a 10 or 12-hour drive.
Yeah, that's definitely an all-day commitment.
So I think that's most, to me, the most exciting things, and communication in general. I have an app, Amazon Fire, for the TV, and you know, get Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix, and like 800 other services I haven't subscribed to.
Right. Yeah, I use a Chromecast, a couple of Chromecasts in the house, and yeah, they're amazing. Just cast anything you want to from your phone to your TV. It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's also scary. I mean, if the internet goes out, we're kind of dead.
I do think about that. What happens? What do we do if the internet's down for you know, the whole country for a week? What do we do?
we would stop. I mean, I don't know. It is frightening. It's just so, it's everywhere. So it's great while it's working, until it goes down or someone hacks it or something.
Definitely. Well, on to the next one then. Why did you leave Mintcast? And after you left, do you think the Mintcast had any impact on you as a person?
Simple answer, I was tired. You know, like we talked about how much work it is, and there were some other things I needed to put time onto. I didn't know I was about to get laid off shortly after that, so I actually wasn't as time-pressed as I thought I was going to be. But we've been doing it for 2 years. It's a lot of work. And I was tired, and at the same time, when I said, you know, I need to move on, I need to do other things, then Rothgar said he also needed to move on. I guess I won't say anything personal about him. He may talk about it, but he also needed to leave the podcast. And so we announced we wanted new people. We needed to leave, and people, Rob stepped up, some others. But that was it, really. It's just we'd done it for 2 years. We were tired. You know, and it doesn't end. You have to keep coming up with ideas. Luckily, Linux is a very big subject, and so it wasn't you know, there's always things to cover. And impact as a person, well, I mentioned when I learned about voiceover work, I was very comfortable starting on that because I had done the podcast, so I had microphone. I needed a better one, actually. I did get a better microphone, but I was very familiar with Audacity, had many hours experience with that, and with speaking for recordings. So I knew what I was doing. So that it would have been a lot harder to get started in the voice work if I had not done the podcast. I think that's the biggest impact, besides appreciating, because I've listened to several podcasts, and now I have a better idea of what goes into it, what it takes to actually make it happen and keep happening every week or every 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2 years is commendable. So, and I've listened to a couple of those shows. I know I listened to the very first one, mm-hmm. and the music was different. That's what caught me off guard. The music was different. I don't know exactly where the music changed. It may have been around 50 or so.
It was. That was part of a discussion. We decided that it would be. I don't remember why we decided this, but we decided it'd be a new podcast. You know, old was out. They were going to get new hosts, new music. Everything. So they did change it specifically with episode 51. I don't know if they've stuck with that up until now.
As a matter of fact, I think we have. It was that kind of like heavy metal intro or something like that.
Something like that. I don't remember why we thought that was important to change that now. It seems a little strange to me, but yeah, the music, I listened to some of the old ones too, and I really like that music and that I chose. And I think it was a website called Unique Tracks that has royalty free music, and I'd actually paid a small amount to get that music so I could use it. But yeah, we decided that it was going to change. Everything changed there, and I'm not proud of that first episode. We learned a lot along the way, and I mean we got it done, but the sound, I think everything improved in later episodes.
Yeah, I did notice a lot of that. And we kind of went through the exact same bit of transition as well. When we started, so our very first episode with all of the new guys had Rob at the helm, and he did a lot of the audio editing and everything, and it sounded great. But he left on the next episode, and when it came in, when it was in our hands, we just did the mumble recording because it was going to be like 6-7 different tracks, and man, it sounded not great. And yeah. we got some feedback to that effect as well. So I was like, okay, well, I guess back to Audacity it is. We'll make it sound great. And over about, I don't know, I guess it was 3 episodes or so, it's starting to sound pretty darn good now. The quality, anyway. The content can be left up to the users or to the listeners.
It's definitely a learning process, and it's like anything else. You get better as you do more of it.
Definitely. And I've got one last question for you then. What is your opinion on the direction the show has taken since you moved on to other things?
And since leaving Linux, I have not followed the show like weekly. But when we left, they did go to a weekly show for a while. That really impressed me, you know, because I'd gotten really tired and I was just doing it every 2 weeks. So the fact that they could make it weekly, that was really impressive. Switching to Mumble, I think, was a good step when it works. And actually, the audience may not understand that comment. I couldn't get Mumble working on my PC tonight, so we're recording it old school. So anyway, but that setting up the Mumble server and then going with the live stream, people can listen to it live. You did a lot of great things there that advanced the technology. And really, you kept the show going. I know I've touched on that already, but when I was learning about voiceover work, I did find a few podcasts to listen to, and I found some good ones about voiceover work, but I found at least 3, I think, that were really helpful, but they had died. The feed was still there. I could still download episodes, but they stopped. I think one had 12 episodes and stopped, and another had like 3. So it's, and there are a lot of, if you look around, there's a lot of dead podcasts out there. I mean, you kept it going. You're up 300 episodes now. This, you know, I've had different teams, different people, but this is great. So that's that alone and relevant. You know, people are still listening to it. If there was no more audience, then that would be different. You've got people who are listening, who are looking forward to it, who are learning from it. So that's kind of the biggest deal to me is you're keeping it going. So I'm really, really glad. even though I don't have much, you know, I haven't had anything to do with it in years, that something I created here and helped set in motion is still going. And like I said, we quit, what, 7 years ago, and you're still going?
Yep, exactly. And we don't plan on letting it die anytime soon. So if it does come down to that where we all decide we want to leave the show or something like that, we're going to make sure that that baton gets passed on.
That's great there. So, yeah, so we did. So it's been 7 years since I was on it, and we did it for 2 years. So that you know, 9 years so far, that's not many. That probably, I bet that puts you in the top 95% of podcasts there. I don't have any.
Hey, at least we got that going for us.
Yeah, I don't have numbers to back that up. But just from how many dead podcasts I found, I think that's one of the best things, I think, about the show is you kept it going. And it's interesting. You're not just sitting there talking about what you had for breakfast or something. You're giving good, relevant Linux information.
I might have to put that as a new section into the show just to say, well, Charles said we weren't doing it, so now we have to do it.
There you go.
Well, that's it for all of the questions that I've got for you. So I want to thank you for taking the time to sit down with me today. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I know any longtime listeners will be excited to hear from you again.
This has been another episode of the Mintcast podcast. The show notes for this episode are at mintcast.org. You can send us email at mintcast@mintcast.org. You can find more information about Linux Mint at www.linuxmint.com. You can follow both Mintcast and Linux Mint on Twitter, @mintcast and @linux_mint. Thanks to Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com for our theme music, and thanks for listening to this episode of the